Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting adventure here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, along with my frozen Eskimo from the north. Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. Great to be here on this, I was about to say Wednesday, Tuesday, February the 12th.
Yeah, I hope everyone had a good weekend.
And it's just starting to thaw, but I can say, since I said good afternoon and have a good weekend, everybody, on Friday, it has been winter hell. And I mean, I cannot even describe to you the last several days of massive snow, freezing rain. And if I were to die today, I really feel I'd instantly go to heaven. I mean, I have suffered. Has it been bad? But anyway,
right.
It's great to be here, and it's actually starting to thaw. And let's knock on wood for that for this Tuesday, February the 12th. And also, I was going to let everybody know, not only do we have a very cool website designed by Annie herself, but Annie and I want to be your friend, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook, Twitter. We're up Michelle Obama's dress. We're everywhere, friends. So come on and become our friend and sign up for our website. Chance to win some prizes. iTunes. Annie, you got us everywhere. I mean, I'm waiting to the day I'm in the store and I pull a product off the shelf and your face is on the other side. And you're like, Mike, don't forget to say this.
Oh, God. If you put my face on a product, it definitely will not sell. And listen, I got to stick the knife in your back a little bit. Since you're up there in Michigan, I'm down here in South Carolina. It's a nice 60s over here. The azaleas have started to bloom. And I walked out without a jacket or anything to pick up the mail. It's gorgeous. Just a gentle breeze. We just had the rain come through and clean everything off. So it's a delicious day down here.
And your point to that was?
Excuse me. Just sticking the knife in the back a little bit. Excuse me. Got a little bit of a cough fit here. Sorry about that.
Oh, I tell you, just well. Hopefully, with this being basically almost at a midpoint of February, there's only 6 to 8 weeks left. That will be that.
Yes. So spring is sprung already. Everyone that does listen knows that we dedicate each show to a fallen hero. And today I picked out Army Sergeant First Class Paul R. Smith. So, Mike, if you can pull up the Army mix, and we will do our dedication. And
Army
our guests should be calling in about quarter after the hour. Okay. This is from the Army's Time staff writer, Michael Cox. And it's titled, Soldier's Son Accepts Medal of Honor for Dad's Valor in Iraq. If young David Smith was scared, he didn't show it. The wide-eyed 11-year-old boy let go of his mother's hand and stood tall as President Bush presented him with the Medal of Honor for his father's heroism in Iraq. David took the wood-framed plaque, holding the nation's highest award for valor, and gazed at it briefly, before silently lifting his head to face the room full of generals, lawmakers, service members, and journalists in the cramped room of the White House. His father, Sergeant First Class Paul Ray Smith, died exactly 2 years before he received the honor for leading a counterattack against the Iraqi Republican Guard that saved 100 of his fellow soldiers' lives. The Medal of Honor is the highest award for bravery a president can bestow. It is given for gallantry above and beyond the call of duty, Bush said in a speech before presenting the prestigious award. Smith, 33, was a platoon sergeant with Bravo Company, 11th Engineer Battalion, 1st Brigade Combat Team, 3rd Infantry Division during the invasion of Iraq in March of 2003. On April 4, 2003, Smith was setting up a temporary enemy prisoner of war holding area during the seizure of Saddam International Airport when his unit came under attack. Smith kept his soldiers focused during the fight while engaging the Iraqi force of around 100 men with his M16, a hand grenade, and an AT-4 anti-armor weapon. At one point in the battle, Smith manned a 50-caliber machine gun in the exposed turret of a damaged Bradley armored personnel carrier and began firing at the main force of the enemy. He fired around 400 rounds, giving his soldiers time to regroup and mount an attack of their own. When the shooting stopped, the Iraqi force had been defeated, but not before Smith had suffered an enemy bullet to the head. Smith is the first Medal of Honor recipient since the two medals awarded to Master Gunnery Sergeant Gary Gordon and Sergeant First Class Randall Shugart, who died during the battle in Mogadishu, Somalia, on October 3, 1993. On this day, 2 years ago, Sergeant Smith gave his all for his men. 5 days later, Baghdad fell, and the Iraqi people were liberated, Bush said. Today, we bestow on Sergeant Smith the first Medal of Honor in the war on terrorism. We count ourselves blessed that we have soldiers like Sergeant Smith. Smith is also the first to be awarded the new Medal of Honor flag. In addition to David, Smith's wife, Birgit, and his 18-year-old daughter, Jessica, also stood on a small stage to accept the award. Following the ceremony, Birgit told the reporters, it wasn't hard to make the decision to have David accept the honor for his father. He is now the man in our household, so David deserves to have this Medal of Honor, she said. A day after being honored at the White House, Army Sergeant First Class Paul Smith posthumously took his place in the Pentagon's Hall of Heroes, where his German-born wife said his actions have inspired her to seek American citizenship. My family and I continue to be overwhelmed by the American people's appreciation of his service, said Birgit Smith, who met her husband when he was stationed in Bamberg, Germany, in the early 1990s. They married when he returned to Germany from the 1991 Gulf War. I'm sure Paul would be proud to know that I have begun the process of becoming an American citizen, Biergott said at the Pentagon Hall of Heroes ceremony, attended by Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and other senior dignitaries. 60 years ago, American soldiers liberated the German people from tyranny in World War II, Smith said. Today, another generation of American soldiers have given the Iraqi and Afghani peoples a path of freedom. This is an ideal that Paul truly believed in. She also thanked all the soldiers who influenced Paul as he advanced through his military career. Every soldier has a story, Biergott said, sometimes striving to hold back the emotion in her voice. Because of this award, Paul's story of uncommon valor will be forever remembered. She added, as soldiers, I encourage you to tell your stories because the American people and the world will better understand the sacrifice of Paul and others like him. One soldier story at a time. And in honor of Sergeant Smith and all the men and women who have served and are serving, we want to tell their stories. And to them, we dedicate the song, My Name is America, by Todd Helen Harriman.
Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise up. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name, don't tread on me.
God, I love that song. And we have the video DVD autographed by Todd Allen Herndon up on our website, which is southernscents.webs.com. There's a link up in the chat room and on our show page. If you go into it, you can enter the contest to win this autographed video DVD of My Name is America by Todd Allen Herndon. Mike, we've got a little bit of a change up here today. Our guest was supposed to be Horace Cooper of the National Center for Public Policy Research and Project 21. Instead, about 20 minutes to one, I get an email message. He's got an emergency. He had to back out. So we apologize for that. However, we've got someone pinch hitting for him, and he's a fellow also at the National Center for Public Policy Research. He's the media coordinator there as well as a commentator. We welcome back David Amasi. How you doing, David?
I'm doing great. Thanks for that intro, considering the circumstances.
Yeah, you know, you sent me into a panic, but we've had this happen before. We were supposed to have Dr. Waleed Ferriers on one time, and at that point he was the policy advisor to the Romney campaign, and he's calling me as he's boarding the airplane saying, I had a last-minute change.
Ooh.
So we have these things happen to us.
Well, we'll do okay. I hope I'll do Horace proud.
we also have a chance to continue where we left off when you were on the last time, which, I mean, oh, man. Seems like with politics, 1 week can be like 15 years.
Yeah.
yeah, I guess I'm saying nothing new to you. I mean, it just seems like since we last left off, so much, I believe it was December or maybe even November, but I don't remember. But, I mean, just it's more of the more and more and more and more of the same. It just seems like more people have joined the fight of the same, with very few fighting against the establishment, sadly.
Mm-hmm.
So, man.
Well, you know, we've got so much going on today. We've got the report of the North Koreans testing a nuclear device.
Surprise.
But just recently, they also fired, even though the satellite failed, they successfully used a long-range rocket to attempt to launch a satellite. So you add those two things together, and it's very scary. You go from that, you've got Chuck Hagel's confirmation hearing going on today, and he's in a lot of hot water because he's omitted certain things from his resume. We've got the State of the Union address tonight, and we've got sequestration happening in, 3 weeks? You know,
mm-hmm.
it's one thing after another. You sometimes feel like you're being bombarded and you don't know which direction to look in.
That's right. And that's part of the whole idea of this administration, I think, is to have so many balls going that you can only get a couple.
Yeah, and it brings me back to, I love this song from the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, where Charles Durning sings the song, Now You See Me, Now You Don't. And that's the best way to describe this administration. It's all smoke and mirrors, you know. they don't want you to see what one hand is doing while the other one is picking your pocket, basically.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
Now, we were going to be talking with Mr. Cooper about the surveillances and other intrusions on our freedoms that the White House is doing. And one of them is this, it's not something new. They started this back in 2006 by putting black boxes in automobiles.
Right. It's event data recorders. And essentially, I mean, we call them a black box, and that's essentially what they are. The same kind of thing you hear about during a plane crash is, oh, my God, we got to find the black boxes to find out what happened. Nowadays, there are cars that have black boxes. And what we're afraid of is what the government and people petitioning the government might be able to do with that information in the future.
Yeah, and it's all downloadable. Supposedly you use this little cable to hook up into the car to download the data. But with today's day and age or electronics, I think it's just a matter of time before you find hackers getting into that also.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the data industry. I mean, that is a huge, probably unrecognized by a lot of people, but so much of our economy is based on information these days, and this is just another way to get information out there. And then, of course, we know that our credit card information, our bank information, our government's computers, none of them are immune from hackers, either for fun or abuse or for industrial espionage. And it's that is where we start getting into the problems, is when the government gets this information, what will it do with it? How will it keep it safe? Is it legal for them to even keep it and get it in the first place?
Yeah. Now, these black boxes, excuse me, they're generally linked to the airbags, but they can tell the person that's reading the data the speed of the car, whether or not the driver was applying the brakes, whether or not you had your seatbelt on. And that's not all. They're saying that they have the ability to record a heck of a lot more data, including how many passengers you have in the car and what time of day you're driving.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea behind this is that it's going to help make cars better. It's going to help you in the long run when you get in an accident and or prevent you from getting an accident in the future. And, of course, that's a great way to sell it. And we're going to make cars safer. But there is so much, as you said, so much information that Horace wrote about in his paper for us that it can basically, when you turn your car on, it will start recording what's going on. I know that in my car, because there were problems at one point with passenger airbags harming passengers more than it helped them in crashes, there are certain weight restrictions now before airbags go on. That information is being recorded by the car. I have a 2013 Dodge Dart. It's got an incredible electronic system that has the GPS, and it's connected to the internet and all that. As I'm watching the GPS show me where I'm going, I know that it's likely being recorded within the car. If you're going over the speed limit, I know I can see that on my video display. Why should I not believe that the car is recording that information? And then, of course, where I'm parking the car when I turn it off and things like that. And what's saying that that's not going to come back to haunt me someday when the government or the insurance company or whomever else gets that information?
Yeah, and they're also talking about the chip that Intel uses. When they unveiled the chip, they were also saying, oh, but you can also link this up to video, so you'll have a video inside the car and outside the car. Basically, they're geocaching the individual, so someone can go on the internet and then see where you are, where you're driving, who's in the car with you, what are they doing in the car. It is mind-boggling and frightening.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea if there's a camera inside my car, but I would like – I worry, and this is one of the things that that Horace has brought up is that there's two ways allegedly now that the information can fall into other hands, and the one would be you get in an accident, the police come and or the insurance company comes or whatever, and they take the information. If the police take the information, I'm sure the insurance companies will want it because they'll want to do it to adjust the payment. But the other thing is a court order. I'm not cheating on my wife, but what if she were to think I were? What if I someday were? What's saying that that's not that an attorney is not going to sue to get the information to find out where I've gone? If the IRS decides to audit me, and I don't take a deduction for miles traveled, but if they wanted to get that kind of information, if I did start reporting it, who's saying that the FBI or the IRS wouldn't come in and say, we have every right to take your data, just the same reason we can take all your emails at your office in order to make sure that we feel that you're not cheating the government? At what point where do we draw the line with who can get the data of where I'm going?
Yeah. Now, what's really, really scary is that in the Senate bill that passed, and I don't believe it's actually passed yet in the House, has it? That's Senate Bill 1813?
Well, the scary thing, before you get your scary part, I'll get my scary part, is that the bill did not pass in the House. What's happening is we're seeing the Obama administration once again being denied what they want by the democratic process and saying, okay, so we lost in the democratic process. We're going to do this by executive action as it is. So the NTHSA has gone above and beyond Congress and said, well, we're going to ask that this be required anyway, even though the bill failed, even though the House didn't vote for it to go to the president, we're just going to do it anyway.
That's the frightening part.
Yeah.
And the Senate bill had in there that if you owed something, I believe it was $50,000 in taxes, somehow this got tied into the bill that the IRS would be able to yank your passport.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're tying this into this bill for the black box, I'll continue to call it the black box.
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Then you add in they want to put breathalyzers in each and every car. Basically, they're saying government is only going to allow you to drive when they feel they will that you can. You know,
yeah.
You have to basically get government's permission just to turn your car on to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, it's amazing that the ways that they're monitoring everything, like beyond what we're talking about now. I mean, all the red light cameras. I don't know if you've got them in your area, but the D.C. government, I think, operates almost exclusively off the fines it's taking from people for either parking problems or red lights or speed cameras that where they suppress the speed limit in order to make money off the citizenry. And it's just amazing that this kind of thing is happening. And then you've got the black boxes, again, that are going to make it more government intrusion into your life.
Yeah, and if people think that this is not affecting people driving, these black boxes, we have a lieutenant governor. Let me see if I can find that article. Here we go. Timothy Murray of Massachusetts. He crashed his car when he was driving, and he told the cops he was wearing a seatbelt and not speeding. However, they tapped into the black box and revealed he was actually speeding 75 miles in a 65-mile-an-hour zone and then accelerated to 100 miles. In the end, he got tagged with a $555 ticket.
Mm.
And this is the lieutenant governor, and normally you would think they would have courtesies so you know the cops won't give him a ticket. But because they were able to access his black box, they said, no, you didn't tell us everything, so we're going to be issuing you a ticket.
Yeah, there we go. That's exactly the kind of thing that Horace was wondering about and was worried about, is that, I mean, this lieutenant governor did get in an accident at the time, but the thing is there were no cops there to see it, and there were no cops there to be keeping the peace, keeping the safety, but nonetheless, they still found a way to give him a ticket afterwards. And
yeah.
That's the one thing I wonder about in the future is when is that sort of thing going to happen? There was a movie, a Sylvester Stallone movie from the 90s called Demolition Man, where they showed a very pacified society, and it was every time Sylvester Stallone, who was like a time traveler guy, went over the speed limit, his car automatically issued him a ticket. It's like, when are we going to have that happen here? I think we're going to have it a lot sooner than we saw in that movie. And there is an example, I think, of that possibly, like a step towards that. On the TV, they have advertisements for Progressive Insurance, and they've got something called Snapshot that you can attach to your car, and they advertise it as a way, if you're a good driver, if you're a driver that you think your driving record is that stellar, give them all your information on a 30-day trial, and they might lower your rates.
Yeah,
so,
I love that, because I pulled that up when I was doing my research, because I remember seeing the commercial when it first came out. And, you know, me being a tight constitutionalist and independent as all hell, the second I saw it, it says, I'm never going to go to Progressive Insurance. And, in fact, if they send me any mail, I'm going to mark it return to sender and tell them to you-know-what with it. But
I tagged that on Facebook that they were doing this, and they deleted me from their page. I think there were like 300 hits on them, basically people saying they'd never. But I told it like it is. Remember that I got to interrupt and change subjects here, guys. I have a funny joke for you. Remember when we used to sit in our living rooms and laugh about soon they'll tell us what kind of toilet seats and light bulbs we could use, and we got such a good laugh out of it? Well, as you said, here it is. You go over the speed limit, and you're going to have a little printer somewhere probably where the cigarette lighter will be removed because they won't allow smoking even in your car someday. And up comes your ticket. There you are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you're not allowed to smoke in car rentals now. And every time my husband and I go to rent a car, my husband does smoke, and they'll smell the cigarettes on his clothing, and they say, well, there's no smoking in the car. If you smoke in the car, it's a $200 additional fine.
They've already found him guilty, it seems. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing is, too, is even, Annie, something you had mentioned, you know, I guess I can ask the guest this, who has studied history immensely. If you go back even to our Constitution, it almost basically is saying whatever inventions we have now and whatever ones we have in the future, you cannot do these things to the public. But you know what? If we, the public, don't do anything to enforce that law, then they just will. Because as we know, whether it's business, a huge business, or government, they're always trying to take. They at no point give. They almost create an illusion of give. But, I mean, it's basically take, take, take. Government would like no more than a society of slaves. And same thing with the huge corporates. I mean, it's just, and we allow it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And this almost is a way around. There was a Supreme Court case a couple years ago, U.S. versus Jones. You might remember this because it was national news. The police put a GPS tracker on a car, and they didn't get a warrant for it, and they used that to follow whatever criminal guy around. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that without a warrant. But this black box being put in by a regulation that will get GPS data, I don't know, and I don't think anyone knows at this point, whether or not that will be an end around to the U.S. versus Jones decision, because it is something that's government mandated. And so essentially what they did to this investigation where they put the GPS tracker on without a warrant, the GPS tracker will already be in there. It'll be in there when the car is built. And do they have access to that now? That's going to be a big question going onward from this. And, of course, this is a regulation that they're going to write. It's not something that is going to be plain as the day. It's not going to be it's going to be more Obamacare than it's going to be something straightforward like the Constitution.
Well, yeah, and no. Also, you got to – sorry, Annie. You also have to remember is that government does a great job of when they lose cases, whether it's Southern Sense versus the U.S. Supreme Court, Cool Mike or whomever, they don't even mind losing because basically, and I think this hits the nail on the head, whenever they lose a decision, they basically make a law basically that enforces 90% of whatever the decision that was reversed. You saw this in Chicago with the handgun ban that just recently all the things that Chicago immediately did to basically counteract the – so this is government, and when we don't – the Constitution's only as good as those who will enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now you think about this. You know, a lot of people have LoJacks, which, you know, law enforcement is able to access. But if they put these black boxes, which as of this year, every car being manufactured will have them in there. So it's somewhere between, I think they said, between 90 to 95% of cars have them already. So people,
yeah.
It's already here. And this year is the regulation goes into full effect. But you tie in LoJack with the black box, with the GPS, and then you throw in cameras. You know, basically, if you go out of your driveway and they deem that you should not be driving on the road for whatever reason, they can remotely disable your vehicle and prevent you from traveling. Is that a scary thought? Because with LoJack and all the others, you know, a lot of these now have these disable features that, you know, remotely you can disable a car.
Mm-hmm. That is scary, and that's unfortunately that's just part of the thing. I mean, you also have these smart grids and stuff now where the government can come in, or the power company at the government's orders can come in and change your temperature settings at home. And I see that now for like ADT or the home security systems allow you to – you can use your cell phone to turn your heat up or heat down at home or turn on lights and turn off lights. But the government is trying to get that same thing through smart grid technology, that they can go in and say, no, you don't. You got your computer on, you got your stove on, I'm sorry, you have to choose between one. And then this will go to our cars too. It's like, yeah, they don't want you to come to a certain area, they shut your car down.
Yeah, not only just the electricity – but they're also trying to do that for water, too. I mean, I keep on hearing them every so often. They bring it up, these meters that will go onto your water that prevents you from exceeding a certain amount of usage.
Mm-hmm.
So just don't flush that toilet that extra one time, because otherwise you may not have enough water to That's a nasty thought.
This is, well, and it's beyond ridiculous that, you know, at what point do we finally do anything about it? I always like going back to last year. We talk about the decision in Arizona, where the federal government, basically the Supreme Court, ruled 8-0 in favor of against the state of Arizona. I think their ruling was, look, these are your politicians. You elect them. If you don't like the law, get rid of them. Make them enforce it. And we don't. And same thing with these black boxes. You know, there'll be a situation where all three of us will be deemed bad drivers after God knows how many years of not having problems, but something we do wrong. Or maybe it's a transmission error or, you know, electrical error in their system where they can just shut you down. Almost when you have a problem with a bank account, sometimes you have to wait a couple weeks before that money is redeposited. Once again, it's more and more bureaucracy, because I think what happens is we're dealing with a couple generations that think when government does this, it really is best for society now and long term. So it should be acceptable, rather than to whereas back in the day where nothing was acceptable. And it's almost really scary. You know, I was at your website, and I was just looking over the things that, I mean, that the things that your company does, and just the things that government has done since 2000. I mean, we know this has been a 100-year slow progression, but just in the last 13 years alone, I mean, they are moving so fast now that, I mean, one of these days when we're all when they do shut our cars off, or we're in balls and chains, and you know, they shut our heat off because they think it's too high, man, we're going to be like, wow. So this is what it was like before we overthrew the king, huh?
Well, you know, there is a little ray of hope, because right now, as of December, 13 states have legislation limiting or prohibiting the EDRs. There's also a couple of law challenges I saw also. So there are people challenging the constitutionality of this.
Well, good for them, because, I mean, there definitely needs to be some check on the power, because as we already discussed, Congress did look at this. Congress did decide that they didn't want to push forward with it, and it's the federal government that's, through its regulatory process, that they're imposing this. And, of course, that opens the whole Pandora's box, because it's just a bunch of bureaucrats writing it now rather than lawmakers who have constituents like you and me to help do input in that process.
Yeah.
When you were putting up your website and all the things you were doing, I mean, you had to have thought, wow, look how far, or something along the lines of, just look how intrusive government has become even since then.
Warning people,
I mean, wow.
Well, I mean, just, yeah, over the generations, definitely, I mean, in my lifetime, I'm 45, the amount of intrusion, the way things have changed, it's amazing, and a lot of it has to do with the digital age. I mean, when I was growing up, we thought that the phones and cars were going to be the hip, new, incredible thing of the future. Now I've got something probably more powerful than any spacecraft that went to the moon in my pocket, and I play Angry Birds on it. So, and it also tells me exactly where my wife's phone is, and she knows exactly where my phone is, and that kind of thing, where, you know, there's not a lot of privacy concerns anymore.
No, and that's the whole thing. We've given up so much of our privacy. And,
you know, you just said something. Oh, sorry. And you just said something that just kind of hit right through the head. Is Annie and I are friends on Facebook, and Annie sees what a lot of my people that I know through my business post. And as you just said, privacy. Where years ago, your wife's business and David, you and your wife's business was your business. Now you see what people post on Facebook, and it's almost a huge group of generations that want to tell you everything about. There's no secret whatsoever. Some girl I ended up blocking made a comment. I sell an energy drink manufactured by the company of Playboy, and she wanted to get involved in it. And she says, my mom is my biggest supporter. Turns out this girl was 12. I, like, blocked her so fast.
Ooh.
I was thinking to myself, and she's like, my mom says I can be a pro. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God. What next in somebody's personal life do they not only just tell a next door neighbor, maybe you entrust in a friend, but Facebook, there are like, what, a billion accounts? My God. I mean, there's just no, to a huge group of people, there should be, the privacy means nothing.
Right. And when the way kids are acting in schools these days and sharing that kind of information, sharing personal things with people that they hardly know or people that will abuse it, yeah, it gets out there and it harms lives. And in the case that we're talking about, it hinders freedom because the government is getting all this information from us, and there's the potential that it could get into other hands, could get into trial lawyers' hands, could get into advertisers' hands, and will be in. If it's not the government intruding on us, it will be the deodorant manufacturers or the weight loss clinics because it noticed that the car said we've gained 5 pounds over the last couple months.
Yeah, now, this was about 2.5 years ago. The FBI had requested, because some of their investigative techniques were questionable, they asked that all encrypted communication systems have backdoors for surveillance. Now, that is very, very scary, because basically you have your phone encrypted or your emails encrypted so that you could not be intruded upon. But the FBI has been requesting that there is a backdoor which enables them to get into it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not like the government's going to do anything underhanded or anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
really?
Exactly.
Oh, no, not at all.
Also, here's another thing, Annie, to correlate with that, is that, we have that new, with the Homeland Security, the new National Emergency Whatever Type Act, where you can say, I don't want to be part of this. You can't say, the one that the president sends out, in a national emergency, whatever, you can't say you don't want to be part of that. You remove yourself from everything except that. So in the case of a national emergency, the president can still text message you or Homeland Security because they're so concerned about David, myself, and you, they want us to be safe. So we can't. So that is part of the, when we get a cell phone, a part of the small print.
Yeah. Now, David, just recently, just a couple of days ago, I don't know if it was 3 or 4 days ago, Maxine Waters was on Roland Martin. And she made this statement. She said, the president has put in place an organization with the kind of database. Now, listen, she used the word database that no one has ever seen before in life. That's going to be very, very powerful, she said. That database will have information about everything on every individual on ways that it's never been done before. And whoever runs for president in the Democratic ticket has to deal with that. They're going to go down with that database and the concerns of those people because they can't get around it. And he's, meaning President Obama, has been very smart. It's very powerful what he's leaving in place. This is Maxine Waters.
I think that might be a little boastful. I'm on the list. I'm on the Obama list because I signed up for it once to see if I could get a ticket to an event and if they'd ask me for an ID, that kind of thing. And I'm still getting emails from, I'm getting the Obama for America ones, and I don't think it's that great and expansive, and I think a lot of people might just be people like me that had some kind of curiosity at one point. But obviously, you know that people are trying. I mean, that's the way of the future. These pollsters are trying to micro-target so they can get one-armed people that still like to watch episodes of Lost on Saturday afternoons. That's going to be a demographic that they're going to go after at some point in time. So, I mean, you will have this in the future. I don't think you do have it now, but I think it's something that the Obama people are boasting about.
Yeah, but we also have these smart billboards now that when you walk past them in the mall, they automatically see you and target the ad to you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't figure out how the heck they can know what I may or may not like. What are they looking at? Whether or not I'm a white female, my age, what type of clothing I'm wearing, you know.
Kind of mannequin that targeted your eyes. Like if you looked at the mannequin, it would remember that, and on the other side of the floor, the other mannequin would know what you wanted to see or hear.
Ooh, that's so very Doctor Who-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and also, if you think about it, Annie, say there's a kid coming by. Okay, we'll use a kid, say somebody 16. It's a lot easier than to project how as adults think. But they're wearing Nike sneakers, and their pants are from Abercrombie. Their shirt is from Hollister. They may or may not be wearing a baseball cap, or their purse is from whatever. That, I mean, they put these pictures, I mean, bang. I mean, it is absolutely positively scary that just from a picture or from a machine in the mall, what they can spit out. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, you know, they also have all these different ways to track, you know, your spending habits, you know, your preferences, because the feds actually have been tracking our credit cards. Our federal government has been tracking our credit cards. They do not limit their surveillance of residents. They do not limit to phone calls, emails, geolocation. They're also interested in calling cards, credit cards, rental cards, airline reservation, retail shopping clubs, store loyalty cards, and cell phones. And this is from the DOJ Hot Watch orders.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 10-page document that people can download, and I did download it, and they basically tell you what they're looking for, and they're actually doing an unwarranted search on every single transaction you do.
Amazing.
Wow. David, what do you think, based on this past election, you're obviously, this is more of your expertise than it would be ours, but what type of candidate do you think, or how do you think a candidate, say along the lines of a true conservative, maybe a Rand Paul, or a Rush type candidate who basically is conservative, period, how would they do? I mean, it almost seems like that type of person is like the taboo. It's almost like the opposite. We never want those kind of people to run because they're just so extreme that they support the Constitution to a T. How do you think that'll play out?
I can't get involved in politics at all because we're a nonprofit 501c3, so we can't really push a candidate, and I don't even want to get into like a composite candidate even. But, I mean, I think that we saw back in 2009 and 2010, we saw a lot of people that joined the Tea Party movement and started radio shows like this one because they were concerned about the threats to their freedom. And while I'm not going to talk about a candidate, I mean, there are people in this world who, in this country, who are concerned enough about their freedoms that they're willing to stand up and make their case known. And whether it be running for office or writing to those who do run for office or getting editorials and information out like we do here at the National Center, I mean, they're active, they're involved to a degree more than they were before 2008.
Okay. That I'm glad that we do get ourselves involved because what I learned has been absolutely amazing. Like that Homeland Security database, the SAR, it's for suspicious activity reports. They started, this was 2 years ago. And when that first came out, we had been talking about it. And when I looked at it, they found that there's 1,271 government organizations and 1,931 private organizations related to surveillance and counterterrorism. But on this SARS database, there were 5,700 suspicious activity reports compiled by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement for this federal database. Out of the 5,700, or 6,000, only 12 of them had any substantiation. In Virginia, only 7 out of 350 met the standard. So people are just simply going up on those websites now and just, if they don't like their neighbor because the lawn isn't cut, they're making a report.
Well, yeah, the White House had their fishy thing, thing that you could report things to them that came and went fairly quickly. But, I mean, they nonetheless did ask people to turn in their friends and neighbors.
Gee, I feel like I'm Germany back in the 1930s.
Well, that's the thing. Those who forget history are destined to repeat it. And I think if a lot of people go to your National Center on your website and they were to read some, like you have a really, I think basically Project 21 is the most, I read about it and I'm just like, man, it's about three or four paragraphs and it's every word means something. But I think you'd get a lot of people who would say, like, David, why did you put this up? None of this makes any sense. And you'd be like, oh, really? Because people just don't know. It's almost like you could write it in Chinese. They just don't understand this.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, people who don't recognize history are destined to repeat it, unfortunately.
Well, then this brings up a point that Dr. Carson made at the prayer breakfast, and I'm bringing him up, even though everyone said he was wrong. I don't think he was wrong. I think he didn't go far enough. When he mentioned education, and when he later on went on, I believe it might have been Huckabee or something like that, and he was talking about what he was intending, he's saying our children are not being educated. People are being force-fed, you know, a pablum that they're only spewing back out. There's no longer any critical thinking, and no one is learning true history, what a country basically stands for and why we have these laws and a constitution. Instead, they're saying, oh, it's an old document, it's 200 years old, so it doesn't mean anything today.
Yeah, I think it kind of has a lot of good meanings, and it's lasted pretty darn well.
Yeah, and I think another thing, this is my observation. I've recently embarked on a little mission. And I was actually going to write you, David, when I started doing this. Around my area, I've been embarking on getting to know charter schools because, as we know, it's the greatest trend, et cetera, et cetera. And people are getting educated much better in it. Yeah, right. Well, I was actually told by one school I have no access to it. And I said, you are taxpayer-funded, correct? No. Well, they are. But they take the tax money from the taxes, they hire a private company. So that school itself all of a sudden becomes a private company, although it's completely funded by our taxes. The schools that I did have access to, they're basically teaching a current Republican Party agenda of basic, a John Boehner-type government. They're not really teaching what we think they are,
mm-hmm.
because Sean Hannity says this is being taught in a charter school, so we believe Sean Hannity or Karl Rove and Michelle Malkin all the other. But it's almost like, okay, so now you have Democratic schools, which primarily are the public schools, and then you have now these Republican schools, which would be the charter schools, and who's teaching the true values? I honestly think if you went to the National Center, your nationalcenter.org, you could probably learn more you would in your first 8 years in a grade in middle school.
That's very nice.
Well, no, my point is that it's honest, and it says, mm-hmm. this is how it is, period. This is the way it is. And whereas I think in these interviews you're looking for teachers in the public school who are maybe fit a certain criteria, and in the charter schools fit another type of criteria. But in the meantime, it's almost like it's another one of these things where the government makes you feel like, okay, you're getting a tax, we're lowering taxes, or we're sending you a stimulus. You feel, wow, they're giving us something back.
Mm-hmm.
When it was basically ours to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a big debate going on up in LinkedIn, and it dealt with the Constitution, and whether or not government was intruding on it with our Second Amendment rights of gun ownership. And I kept on getting hit in the head with these liberals that kept on saying it's an old document, the Constitution, and, you know, it's not a solid foundation. It's a living document that we can change whenever we want. And I kept on saying, don't you understand how you build a house, how you create a building? You create a solid foundation that has stayed fixed. And the Constitution is that foundation. Yeah, you can add rooms onto it. You can change the windows, but you can't change the foundation, which is based in the preamble of the Constitution and the body of it, as well as the 10 Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. You know, if you consider that as the solid foundation, then, you know, our country will stand for another 200 years easily.
Yeah, and Antonin Scalia certainly doesn't think it's a living document. He was very empathetic about that not too long ago.
No, yeah. I was also going to mention on your blog, David, there is a great, great video. I'd have to go back, but I think it was Charles Butler, and he was talking about I got to put the link in the chat room, but he was talking about the violence in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, he says, blame the weak politicians. Basically, I that blog is really awesome, and it also does – I think it was today when Annie told me you would be our guest on, where you talked about the Obamacare in the state of Virginia. I mean, it just it's so full of information that is just current right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me correct myself. K through 12. You'd learn more from K through 12 by going to your site. But it also talks about how the governor affirmed, I forgot his name.
Our governor in Virginia is Bob McDonald.
Yeah, Bob McDonald. To cut back to part-time employee hours, what is it, like 25 or 30 hours a week or something along those lines? Basically, here we go. I mean, we are going to see this in the – we've already seen some of it in the corporate world, but we're just going to – this is just going to be rampant. And as much as I think it's more of a companies kind of retaliating against Obamacare, I don't believe it's going to be as devastating as they believe. They still have a right to, and it's going to cost them more and more money, which it's not going to cost them more money. It costs us more money. Because as we've learned, everything is passed on to the consumer or the purchasee. That's simple.
That's right.
Now, David, I'm not sure if it was West Virginia or Virginia that a number of years ago, when they faced people screaming about gun violence and everything, they initiated laws where it was a mandatory 5-year sentence if you attempt to purchase a firearm and you're not eligible. If you do purchase or if you use it in a crime, automatic 5 years. So basically, even walking into a gun store, filling out the application, and knowing full well you cannot purchase that gun, you face a 5-year sentence. And at that point, they dramatically cut gun violence down because now those that shouldn't illegally have guns were not even attempting to obtain them.
Hmm.
And it was such a simple fix for a gun problem that's going out amok. Instead of saying, no, restrict who can own them. No, why don't you penalize the people who illegally own them?
Right.
And there's no such thing as a universal background check because you're only going to be checking people that are legitimate, who are legal. You're not going to be checking the illegals because they're not even going to, they're not going to be there. They're going to fall into
right.
the cracks just like Gunwalker.
You know, they had a gun in the capital of Michigan. Our capital is Lansing. And the mayor there, and I like this mayor. He's a Democrat and he's way left. But he balances budgets. He's not required to or mandated. I don't believe he is by the city charter, but he does. And he started by cutting his car, no mayor car. He cut his pay. I mean, he's kind of a weird Democrat. But they had this gun buyback law, and I'm making – comments to him on his Facebook. He's so proud of this. And I think to myself, okay, so people who have firearms obviously purchase them. They don't want it. They're not going to sell them. But guess what? Those who sell them on the black market, now they got the city as their customer. I got plenty of guns to sell you, brother. I'm thinking to myself, not to mention how many of these guns probably don't even work.
Right.
Think to myself, I can tell you, I think other countries, we always look at them as somewhat, I don't know, like we're smarter. They must just laugh at us. They must think, look at America doing another gun buyback. What idiots they are.
I mean, like every time you hear about these things when someone brings a rocket launcher into a gun buyback and everyone freaks out. It's like, it's a used launcher. You can sometimes get them on eBay. They're not the craziness that you think they are. And if they brought in a live one, that'd be a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe it was Milwaukee had another Fast and Furious scandal just recently pop up where they were doing the gun buybacks. They were selling the gun for like $200, but the city was buying it back for like $1,200. So, how are you taking guns off the street? You're just circulating them.
Mm-hmm.
You may be creating a great market, but you're just recirculating the same firearm over and over again. Here they are. They sell the guns to people who shouldn't have them, and then they buy them back from the people who shouldn't have them. And they let the person who's the criminal make a profit. Where's the common sense in that?
Well, maybe they want them to start their own business. Just go buy the guns, turn them in, and they've made a few hundred dollars. Just keep them busy. Oh, God. Man, oh, man. I was also going to tell you is that I do another show on BTR with some guys in the evening, Dave. I have found your site to be so informative. I have posted your link in several of our in that show in the chat room. It's just, I'm sure you're in charge, but I really, it's just it's a great source to go for information that can also lead you to whatever big it is you're looking for. I mean, it's just really amazing. I'm going to write this this Bob McDonald. I'm going to email him. Oh boy! So tell me, what's the reaction that he wants to cut back? You know, part-time employees to 25 or 30 hours a week.
No, that's a topic I'm not sure of. I didn't write that part. David Hogberg, who just joined our staff, wrote about that, and I'm sure we could book him on your show at a different time. But I haven't had an opportunity today to read his post.
Yeah, he's the governor there.
But we've got to let people know what the website is. It's nationalcenter.org,
yes.
And it's up in the chat room also.
Yeah, it's a I am not big into reading, so something has to be well written, even in the first, say, paragraph, to keep my eyes on this page. But it's very, very well written. And I think it's funny. There's a line in it where he says, all the rage of one pundit ranted, you know, it's here it is. Even the people who supported the president, the governors or state representatives, the people of non-federal level political, are realizing this is coming back to not just bite you in the booty, but it's almost like a great white shark taking a huge chunk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, state, not only can business in many ways not afford it, especially smaller business, but states. States cannot afford it.
And we're supposed to be a conservative state, too, so.
God bless the state of South Carolina here. Man.
I'll tell you, is that I really, as you said, you hadn't had a chance to. Let me tell you from someone who does not really read a lot, and is that that article is very well written. And that would be great if, you can link up with Annie. We could get him on. This is one article. I probably keep him busy for about 5 hours.
Yeah, well, Dave has just joined our staff, so he's more than happy to do an interview.
I just got booted, too, Annie, out of the West Michigan Tea Party group because I criticized their president. Some of these Tea Partiers are nothing more than stupid Republicans. But I made a comment. Imagine, we have a governor who wrote a clause in one of our bills that this cannot be reversed by the taxpayers. You cannot vote on it, although that means nothing. I mean, basically she was pushing for this bill, and I said, all of these bills he's passing include his newest phrase, he's the king. And she made a comment that this moron we had as a guest on a while back, Stacey Shrimp, made. He said, well, let's pass the bill, and then we'll fight government and get back, we'll get that part taken out. I'm thinking, oh, my God. Is this even, and this lady's 50 years old, so she's not some dumb 18-year-old. When is the last time government has ever given us anything back by non-force?
I can't even think of a way. You know, David, we were talking about privacy issues earlier, and Obama's under a lot of fire for his use of drones. But what people don't realize is there's a lot of usage of drones here domestically, right in the heartland. And people don't realize how much of their privacy is being invaded by these drones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some states are making proposals to restrict them, like South Carolina has Representative Dan Hamilton just introduced this just this past week. He said that it would prohibit the use of drones without a warrant, and it will also require that photographs of people that are taken by the drones be destroyed unless they are part of an authorized investigation. Now, you know, you've got that whack job out in California, that former police officer that's now hiding Lord knows where. You know, I can understand using a drone to hunt him, but they want to use them for just everyday surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
And this, again, is another example. You know, you've got the black boxes in the cars. You've got them snooping on the Internet. They got them snooping into your purchasing habits, and now they want to have this nonstop 24 hours overhead, you know, looking at you.
Yeah, that's the trend of government. As I mean, that's been the kind of the theme of our whole interview today, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess Annie and I are doing a little more venting than we are asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another example, Annie, of why we have to. Okay, we could probably catch this guy a little sooner or what have you if we did do these kinds of – but you know what? No. Unless you stick to your guns, we've got enough law enforcement on the street. They need to find him without being intrusive to anyone, because the bottom line is – even when we say, yes, I support this bill in legislation, even though it includes this, which is, you know, we know it's a violation, but we're in favor of the bill overall. No, it has to – we cannot allow, period, we cannot allow them a centimeter, because that centimeter becomes a half inch, which becomes an inch, then a foot. No, no, period.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as if we don't have enough police, they can't find this guy, and this is going to be the perfect example. They're going to kill him eventually with a drone, because this story's already been played out. And they're going to say, you see, this is why we should be able to do this. And, of course, you'll have 80% of America saying, yep, that's great. They're only going to use it for this. And who's to even say this person, they could portray anyone on television as whatever they want. They could turn me into a monster within a half hour. So, I mean, the whole world's cheering him on. Yeah, go get drone, go get this person. We really don't know what this person has done, not this person in particular, but other people have done. If you really stop to think about the hundreds of times we've been, the media not only has been wrong, but we've said, this person, we got to stop this person, when it hasn't even been that person. An example I like to point out is when the Olympics had the bomb go off.
Mm-hmm.
They blamed it on the guy who basically saw the package.
Yeah, the security guard.
Yeah, Richard Jewell, I think his name was. But then, of course, since they couldn't get it on anyone, they framed it on Rudolph because they probably thought they'd never find him. So that would be just a wonder. And also when the girl in Utah disappeared, they blamed it on this painter, and they arrested him. And Sean Hannity had this guy, a rope around his neck. It turns out she's alive, and guess what? She's with the kidnappers. I mean, we do this now. It's almost the same thing with the drone. We're okay, great. We took Cool Mike out. You know that Cool Mike? He was, you know, a bank robber and a rapist and a murderer and all these other bad things. Well, we got him finally. Turns out, I'm not. You know, it's just those type of things that the government's in cahoots with, which really, it's really scary. And when you say, people like to think, oh, it's conspiracy. Just how many stations now are really non-biased? I mean, how many are really legitimate journalism? Where they're not swaying your story one way or another. Very few. And it's scary. It's a scary thought overall.
Yeah. Well, the good thing about these drones is that Florida has now banned them, despite law enforcement's objections. Seattle canceled their police program, and now South Carolina has proposed law. So states are starting to step forward and exercise their 10th Amendment and their ability to control their own destiny rather than have the federal government micromanage everything. But drones, you know, I disagree with the use of them for everyday surveillance, but in certain cases where you do have someone in a difficult area and you're using it for a legitimate law enforcement function, such as going after this guy out in California, if you know he's up in the on the side of a mountain where it's too dangerous to save manpower, but in this case, you have a warrant that specifically says you can use this drone to go get him and take him down. I can see that use, again, specifically with a warrant. But unwarranted searches, I cannot agree with at all.
Well, what happens if that, Annie, what happens if that drone spots person A growing an illegal marijuana field?
That cannot be used. A warrant is limited.
You're contradicting yourself. You know you've been in law enforcement. You know very well that's going to be ignored. You cannot – clearly the abuses outweigh the positives from this. It's just that simple. And, I mean, I think a patriot must always be willing to defend the Constitution even when it is convenient for them.
Well, David, how do you lean on this?
That's something I'm not really – that I'm learning a lot of this from what you guys are talking about right now, so I don't really know for sure.
Well, you are aware there's a guy in California who...
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I mean, this is a perfect example. We have now the TSA. We have obviously these cars going around taking pictures that are supposedly only taking pictures of, you know, it's chasing terror. I mean, black boxes. We've talked drones. I mean, Annie, if they can't catch people with all of these type of things, we need new law enforcement people because they're idiots. They're complete morons. And basically, if somebody's on the lam, well, guess what? They're just going to have to catch them. We have a new Department of Homeland Security. Of course, we're not protecting any of our borders, so that's kind of curious. But we're fighting the terrorists overseas. I mean, it's almost like the war is against us. The war is on we, the American people. And we're wearing one jersey or another, and somehow we feel we're important. I'm part of the Republican team. I mean something. They're part of the Democratic team. They mean something. When really, it pretty much means all it is government trying to take to get back what they lost in 1776.
Yeah, now Mike was talking about the Z backscanner detectors. These are basically X-ray machines mounted into vans, and they tried to use them. They have been using them sort of like along the Mexican border, looking for stowaways and for contraband. But these things can drive past any vehicle and determine whether or not, you know, you've got contraband in your car, whether or not you have weapons in the car, how many people are in the vehicle. Not just for cars. They can actually do this on buildings, too. And, again, it's an unwarranted search.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, I mean, yeah, when you put it that way, yeah, I mean, it is, because they're not supposed to have that kind of technology, and they're supposed to have warrants and stuff like that. But, no, if they can do that, then that does sound like it's a it's an unwarranted violation of your privacy.
Go ahead, Annie. Sorry.
The American Science and Engineering, which is based in Massachusetts, told Forbes magazine that it sold more than 500 of these. They sold them to the U.S. military and law enforcement agencies. So there's 500 of them sitting out there that they can use without our knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike, go ahead.
I was going to say, how is business and how is everything since you've put together the National Center and how the direction you want to take it and your education as well as your, you know, you're trying to inform the public, you know, basically your basic mission plan. I meant to also ask you is I'm going to get Nicaragua's continuing revolution. The lady in the library, I wrote her a note and asked her if she would get that for me.
that's definitely would be a collector's item to find in a library.
Well, I asked her to look for it and order it. But
okay.
My point was, David, this is deep, and you have to really you have to go back to really understand. It's almost like a huge tree. At some point or another, somehow that tree started growing from a seed or something. And you almost have to understand the family tree, the branches, and all the leaves, and the tough winters it survived, you almost have to understand all of that to understand the whole tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, Nicaragua was another one of what was it? Well, we're not going to know unless we really read about it and understand what the truth of all that was, because like most people, I was cheering and cheering. You know, go get them.
I think it's more or less like the Steve McQueen movie, The Blob. If you think back to that movie, you know, it's just this little tiny thing. It's like a little kernel that all of a sudden just became a citywide, you know, city block size, massive just thing that just devours everything around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of his worst movies anyway.
But anyway, sorry, I kind of went off. How is everything going with that?
Well, I mean, the organization has been around for 30 years, so I mean, we've been successful. We've morphed and changed over time to have been started out doing a lot of foreign affairs, and now we're doing mostly domestic things. I mean, we're finding out that once we vanquished communism abroad, we have to deal with communism here and the socialism of the regulatory state, as opposed to worrying about Red Dawn or something.
Yeah, and you've got some interesting stuff up on your homepage. You've got the video of Charles Butler. You also have the Project 21. You want to tell us about that?
Well, Project 21 is our black conservative group, and that's Horace is a member of that, who was supposed to be on today. And that's just a place for African Americans of conservative and free market viewpoints to be able to have a place where the media can come and find them, because they're certainly not going to get that from the NAACP or Al Sharpton's group or the National Urban League or any of the majority of black politicians on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, it's funny because the NAACP actually was started by a Republican, which people don't realize. You know, it's amazing that it's morphed into the organization it is. But, you know, conservatives do need places to go to get information. You can find a gazillion ones that have the mainstream media liberal progressive attitude. But now I'm finding little bit by little bit organizations like yours are starting to come to the forefront.
Well, we've been trying. Like I said, it's a lot to do. We're a small organization. We don't have a lot of people working here. Thankfully, we have enough people that are supporting us through donations to keep our doors open, but that we are able to try and do as much as we can. That's a testament to how committed the organization is and how committed conservatives are to fighting back.
Yeah, and you've got – I'm just pulling this up now. I didn't see this until a little bit later. You've got a new paper out there, A New Era of Liberty, a progress report. You might tell us about that? Because I haven't had a chance to go into it.
Oh, well, that I think that was just one of our promotional publications from a couple years ago, and that just goes over some of our the things that we've done over the years, the publications we put out, the videos we've made, the priorities and the programs that we've been doing. So that's just kind of, like I said, a promotional kind of thing.
It looks very nice.
Thank you.
I urge people to go to your site, which is nationalcenter.org. You know, do you have anything coming up new that you have in the works?
Well, I would just suggest people bookmark our page on their browser and come back every couple of days, because we do put stuff up every couple of days. We're going to have Project 21 members tonight commenting on the State of the Union address immediately after it's over. We will have blog posts on various things throughout the week, whether it be the State of the Union or the State of the Economy or more things like what David Hochberg wrote about Virginia and Obamacare. I mean, we're constantly trying to put more and more content up on our website, and that's everything that we do does go up on that website.
Yeah, it is a fantastic resource tool, and I do pop in there every so often. You know, there's a bunch of them that are coming up that are really, really fantastic, and also lets you network with people, too. So it's a great site. It's nationalcenter.org.
Well, also, too, for people who do Blog Talk Radio shows, or they're listening to us on Spreaker, Stitcher, or it's a great source to find other sources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really awesome. Like I said, it's helped me left and right in the direction we need to go.
Yeah, I have to apologize for the background noise. My husband seems to be tinkering with something in the background there.
No problem.
I didn't even hear it, but he's busy man. He's a busy man. So, David, I never got a chance. The last time we talked, I never got a chance to ask you. I always like asking a little bit questions, so I did ask about you being married, etc. If you're a sports fan and like what teams you like.
Not a big one, but I usually try to go to like minor league baseball games around the area. We have the Bowie Bay Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good team, and I was rooting for the Ravens 2 weeks ago.
Well, of course, I mean, being from that area, but
yeah,
I always like to talk to a guest, because I think when you know, you know, if they're married, they have kids, and where they went to college, and just a little bit about them, you can understand kind of like that tree I was talking about. A lot of people who've, you know, grown up in certain families they're going to be traditionally maybe your conservatives or your traditionally non-conservatives. You're going to like this team if your mom or dad played for that team or that team. And I think it's the same way and when you're understanding a person who is, say, 40, 50, or 60, or 70 years old, is to know the trail behind them. In a lot of cases, obviously, it's a trail of fire. But just understanding that for the benefit of our own purpose.
Well, David, you are big with property rights, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think you're the expert on that. There's an article that's been popping up on Fox News this morning over in Prince George's County in Maryland. The public school had proposed this thing that whatever teachers create or students create, whether it's before or after school hours or during school hours, even if they use their own material, would be copyright protected under the school district and therefore their property.
I saw a headline about that, but I didn't read the details. But, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
And that means that, you know, if you're at home and all of a sudden you decide you want to create something to bring to school, and even if it's all of your own material, your own money, your own time, the school is going to say, no, that's not your property anymore. That's ours.
Mm-hmm. And what if something important is developed at that student does? Does that mean the school system gets credit for it and not them? That's something to worry about over the long term.
Yeah, and you think of it towards intellectual property, whereas if a student is sitting there and writing a book, which a lot of young kids are doing and self-publishing, all of a sudden now that book and its profits are not the students but the schools.
Exactly. And a smart kid that can figure out a computer application, that means it's going to become property of the government and not the student. That's something to be concerned about.
Yeah, they're saying that it would include anything published on the school website also. So if you just post something up there, maybe you wrote a letter to someone and it was a fantastic letter and you're getting a lot of hits on it and it's no longer yours, it belongs to the school. Curriculum documents, instructional materials, platforms and software. So they're the apps, just basically anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the school district, fortunately, has now just temporarily put it on hold because they're seeking legal advice. But I'm going to see that come up again.
Yeah, it's if they succeed here, you can imagine that other counties are going to follow suit.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much government wants to intrude into our lives and take away what little we do have.
Mm-hmm.
Not just taxes anymore, guys. It's everything else. It's absolutely phenomenal. I think I lost my co-host for a few minutes here. But we've been having a fantastic, fantastic time. And I did want to go into some of the stuff that Horace had written up, but unfortunately he's not with us because he wrote a great article about Congress needs the constitutional authority statement. And that was a fantastic article that I loved.
Well, do feel free to contact Judy in the future for both like Hogberg and for Cooper and for any of our people. I mean, we're more than happy to be on your shows.
And we enjoy you as a guest immensely. And I've had a fantastic, fantastic afternoon here today and went a little bit better than I thought after
yeah,
I received
your
email.
Yeah, a little long, but yeah, we went well.
Yeah, because I had so much material that I wanted to go over with him, but fortunately we were able to cover it with you.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I enjoyed speaking with you, and I welcome you back anytime, David.
Well, good. Just keep in touch with Judy, and we're more than happy to try and to staff your show in the future.
All right, and tell Horace I hope everything is okay, and I'm sorry he had to cancel last minute.
Okay, no problem.
All right, thank you so much, David.
Bye-bye.
That's David Amasi with the National Center for Public Policy Research and Project 21. He was kind enough to step in because our guest, Horace Cooper, was not able to join us. So, Mike, we made it. And I think I lost my co-host. Oh, well, anyway, letting you know that we do have some fantastic shows coming up. We have next Friday, this coming Friday, we're going to have Matt Kibbe of FreedomWorks. He's going to be on board and talking with us along with Randall Easton, also with FreedomWorks, because this coming weekend, this Saturday, in North Charleston here in South Carolina, we have District 1 seat that was formerly held by Representative Tim Scott, who is now Senator Tim Scott from the great state of South Carolina. His seat is open, so there's a special election occurring in April. And right now we've got about 16 Republican candidates alone running, and there will be a forum and a vetting process this Saturday by members of Tea Party and other like-minded groups up in North Charleston. And they're going to be given a bunch of tough questions, and we're going to be issuing a report card on each one of the candidates. It's not an endorsement of any specific candidate. It's basically letting us know who is more conservative and who is a true rhino out of the group. And it's a voter's guide, basically, is what we're going to create when we interview these 16 candidates on Saturday and have an open forum. And it will be open to the press, and I do believe it will be live streamed online through FreedomWorks and Tea Party Express. So it's going to be an interesting day Saturday. So Matt Kibbe and Randall Easton from FreedomWorks will be with us on Friday to discuss this. And then following that, next Tuesday, 1 week from today, we have former Representative Barb Barr from Georgia. He was a solid conservative when he was in the House. He retired back in 2003, but he's thinking about possibly he ran for president in these last two elections. He's also possibly thinking of another run for office. So we're going to have Barb Barr on next week. So we've got a lot of great shows coming up, and we hope that you're going to be here with us to enjoy them. So I do apologize that our original guest, Horace Cooper, was not able to be with us, but we had a great guest with David Almasi, and I hope we gave you some good information about government intrusion into our lives. So, Mike, are you back with me yet? Nope, I lost my co-host. Okay. Well, until next time, I want to wish everyone a great week. If you're in the vicinity of snow, please take care of yourself and stay warm, and don't over-shovel that wet stuff. If you're here in the warmer climate, enjoy. We're going to have a little bit of rain coming through shortly, but, hey, we all need a little water in our lives. So until then, I want to wish you a happy and healthy week, and we hope you join us again on Friday. Same bat time, same bat station. Good night, and God bless. Until then.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up and trouble you.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
Stand up, let's make it.
loud, it's American, 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 American.